Hey, you're listening to the final week of the spring curriculum for core groups at CSF. Man, what a wild ride it's been. We've made some sweet memories.
Yes, so many.
By the way, this is Dylan, and that was Steph who just talked. Forgot to do the introductions.
Whoops.
My bad. We're getting sloppy here at the end. But yeah, man, Steph, it was so fun going to Austin on spring break with you.
No, we ate so many tacos.
Winter retreat.
Crazy.
Yeah. Jeez, oh, Pete, it was so good. Actually, just kidding. It's still January. We're talking in January. You may be hearing our voices in your little ears at the end of the semester, but guess what? We're talking about all this stuff in January. So if none of this comes true, bummer.
Man.
Hopefully Jesus came back.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be pretty wild. So, man, what a year it's been, Steph. You know, last time we recorded podcasts together, you didn't have a dog.
I didn't. I talked about how I was going to get a dog, but now I've had a dog.
Well, I guess that was the fall semester.
Yeah.
We did record one mid-semester, week six, but now...
I don't think I had him then.
But, no, you did. We just...
No, I did.
In real life, we recorded week six an hour ago.
Oh, you're right.
You guys are getting a sneak peek into the crazy life of podcasting, but we digress. We're just losing our minds here at the end of the semester, just like everyone else is. But hey, we're talking about maybe the best piece of scripture in the whole Bible. I've heard, pray tell, Stephanie, that this is your favorite Bible verse.
It is my favorite Bible verse. Also, personal shout out to my core group. This is kind of a verse that my group has come around and just has had in our hearts for several years. But yes, it's my favorite. Jesus says in John 21:12, come and have breakfast.
Oh, good.
None of the disciples dared ask him why.
Yeah, pass the hash browns.
It's so good. I actually had to convince CJ that this piece of scripture was in the Bible. He didn't believe me. Jess Toll painted me this picture that's like above my desk that has it. And he didn't believe me. And I said, go read the Bible yourself, CJ.
Yeah, try reading the Bible for once, Siege. Man, yeah, what a great command. Here's the only thing, though, I got to say about the breakfast thing is we have been going through the book of John.
Yes.
And some of the craziest moments in all of John have just happened. The cross, empty grave, all that stuff. We've gone through it.
Crazy.
Yeah, wild stuff. And Jesus just walks up to his disciples and says, let's have breakfast.
Yes.
I would. So are they responding this way because it's breakfast or because they're like, yes, Lord, amen. You have just left your grave closed behind. I'll do whatever you say. Do we know?
It's definitely because it's about Jesus. It's breakfast is a great, great thing that happens here, but it of course is always and always will be about the Lord. But yeah, it's kind of crazy because at this point, like you said, they've seen all of Jesus' life, his ministry. He's done what he said he came to do. He died on the cross. He's resurrected. He's come back. He's appeared to the disciples. And so it's kind of crazy because they're just kind of returning to everyday life, which is just kind of wild to think like, okay, we were a part of Jesus's ministry. We got to see him come and do what he said. And now what? I guess we just go fish. And so they're just out in this boat fishing, kind of coming up dry. And all of a sudden, this person from the shore is like telling them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And so just like simply listening, they do. And then they have this huge haul. And then they kind of start to like see who it is. And especially just one of the main people in the story is Peter, sees that it's Jesus and actually jumps out of the boat and just starts swimming to shore because he's so excited.
That's a total Pete move.
Yes.
Just jumps right out of the boat.
Yeah. It's very, very characteristic of Peter to do that. And so I joke and say it's because this passage is about breakfast and it's so good, which is also so great. But I think it's just crazy just that even still, like Jesus is meeting his disciples' needs of like, okay, now I'm going to show you and what this whole passage about. Now I'm going to show you what to do. Now that I've come, I've died, risen again, and before he ascends, he kind of commissions the disciples with this mission. And so that's why I love this passage.
Yeah, that's great. And it's an interesting ending to the book because it does exactly what you said. It kind of wraps up the story, but also launches us into another chapter, into the sequel. And we're, spoiler alert, we're living in the sequel. The part where, like, you know, Jesus, like, plants the church through Peter and the disciples. We're living in it. We're so part of the cool. church. Pretty wild. So we're in the sequel. So this is kind of helping us mm-hmm. understand our role mm-hmm. in the story. So yes. it's so great. So I want to jump over to this kind of this last half mm-hmm. where it says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What's yeah. going on here, Steph?
So if you all remember just a little bit earlier in the story, Jesus predicts that Peter would deny him. And Peter's like, no, 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 I'll never deny you. And Jesus says again, like, you'll deny me three times and then you'll hear the rooster crow. And so sure enough, we see that that's true, that Peter denies Jesus three different times. And so at this point, and this is all happening before or while Jesus is being like taken up to the cross to die. Mm-hmm. And so what we see here is after that is just knowing like Jesus died like on that like side of the conversation. So that's where Peter left, like his Lord, his Savior, yeah. who he's following.
All, having betrayed him.
Having betrayed him.
Yeah.
And oof. Jesus is dying. So can you just like imagine like the weight that that had on Peter? And so what's happening here is we see Jesus ask Peter three times, like, Peter, do you love me? And so it's one, each time that he asks this question, it's like corresponding to each time that he denied him. And so each time we see him just like account for that restoration. So I love that because it's not just kind of even just asking him this one time. I think it's so symbolic that he asked him, you know, three times to account for every time that he denied him. And I think that that's just how sweet the Lord is and how good he is and how great gracious he is. And that every time that we fall short, every time that we deny him, every time that we say that we're going to do something and we don't, he still meets us with grace and invites us into something more than we can imagine.
Yeah, that's so good. Mm-hmm. The restoration that he, like, man, it would be so easy for Jesus to say, well, Pete, you mm-hmm. blew it.
Yeah.
I trusted you. I said I was going to build my church on this rock, but this rock betrayed me mm-hmm. in my time of need. So I'm moving on to Thomas. He could have said it.
He could have.
But he didn't.
No.
That's the graciousness of Jesus, that he would look at Peter and say, though you failed me, mm-hmm. I won't fail you. You
yes.
know, that you weren't faithful to me, but I'm still faithful to you. And so he restores mm-hmm. him. But there's a question here because we're gonna get a little Bible nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna talk about Greek.
Yes.
And what's going on here? Jesus says, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
Three times.
Yes.
But what words does Jesus use for love in these three times?
So, yeah, if you are ever curious about what the word love means in Greek, there's a great book by our boy C.S. Lewis. It's called The Four Loves. And so he kind of breaks down, you know, I think we actually even talked about this last semester, like the word love can mean so many different things for us in English. But in Greek, there's four different expressions of it. And so here we see Jesus using one and Peter using another. And so the one that Jesus used, he's saying essentially like, Jesus or Peter, do you agape me? And so the agape love means a complete self-giving and unconditional love. And so this is the love of the Father, the love of God. It's a very holy love. And Peter answers Jesus and says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. And so what this is more of like a friendship kind of love. It's well-intentioned and it's so good, but it's not the magnitude that agape is. And mm-hmm. so the first two times Jesus asks like, Peter, do you agape me? And the last time he changes it and he actually says, Peter, do you have phileo for me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I have phileo for you.
Yeah. So this is wild. And mm-hmm. I think there's two schools of thought here. And so we want to kind of be respectful to both.
Yes.
And say that at the very least, this is still Jesus restoring Peter. This is still kind of Jesus inviting him back into the call of being, you know, you're the one who's going to feed my sheep. You're the one who is going to be the person who I kind of launched the church through, that kind of leads the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, it is that, because mm-hmm. there are some scholars who think that agape and phileo ultimately at this time in mm-hmm. Greek are just interchangeable. And so yeah. to use agape and phileo is essentially just to say love. Mm-hmm. Two different spellings almost.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to acknowledge that. But there's some other thinkers who basically would argue that what Jesus is doing here is kind of asking Peter, he's asking Peter, Peter, do you love me with a godly love? And Peter's mm-hmm. saying, Lord, I failed you. I have a brotherly love for you. That's mm-hmm. the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus asks again, do you have agape, godly love for me? And Peter's mm-hmm. like, Lord, I failed you. Mm-hmm. I have phileo. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus kind of stoops down to his level and is like, mm-hmm. well, Peter, do you phileo me? That's all I need. Mm-hmm. And Peter's like, Lord, you know I phileo you. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost this coming down to Peter's level and saying like, yeah. listen, the love that you have for me mm-hmm. is enough.
Yes.
And that's sweet and that's powerful. And so there's, mm-hmm. with those two schools of thought, we kind of want to hold in tension the fact mm-hmm. that it could be the first, it could at least be the restoration, but mm-hmm. it also could be a mm-hmm. really powerful language of Jesus basically coming to Peter and saying, you know, Peter, like, all I need from you is the love that you have for me.
Absolutely.
And that's powerful.
Yeah. And I think I even like the kind of the latter, even just as we're kind of talking about it. And again, it can be either or, but I think I love the change in character you can even see in Peter here, where he's, you know, even before he's like, Lord, I'll never deny you. And then he does it three times, doesn't yeah. just do it once. He does it three times. And yeah. so I think I even love just like the character and the heart change that you see here with Peter, because he's like, he could pridefully say like, yes, Lord, of course I have agape for you. But he is saying like, he's just humbling himself and saying like, no, Lord, like, this is like where I'm at. And so yeah, I think I love seeing kind of that part too.
That's a great point, because throughout mm-hmm. all of the Gospels, our boy Pete mm-hmm. is like the zealous big mouth.
Yes.
Who is always like, well, I know you're the Messiah, or like mm-hmm. just is like always blurting stuff out. And so oh, exactly. Yeah. Cut a guy's ear off. Like, that is the most Pete thing you could do. Mm-hmm. Total Pete move. My dad's name is Pete, by the way.
I was going to say, your dad's name is Pete.
Oops. Sorry.
That's funny.
Different Pete, different, mm-hmm. they have very different personalities. Mm-hmm. But love you, Dad. yeah. So then just to see the humility of Peter mm-hmm. is so wild. And I think yeah. on some level, it's just powerful to see how Peter's reckoning with the fact that he betrayed Jesus, and mm-hmm. that Jesus is not calling him to lead mm-hmm. out of perfection, but out of vulnerability. So like, just Absolutely. Even the fact that this like exists,
yeah,
like this was written down and it was mm-hmm. a story that was told mm-hmm. to all believers, that kind of like the head guy mm-hmm. of the early church, one of the biggest kahunas in the first group of first Christians, mm-hmm. like one of the stories they told was, yeah, he failed Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that's not the story you tell Mm-mm. when you want to start a great movement, unless if it's true and has the power of the Holy Spirit in it. Mm-hmm. And so if there's something about like leading through vulnerability, leading from a place of I failed God, but God won't fail me, mm-hmm. is totally different than being like, look, I've got it all together. I'm the person to follow. And so even like, to me, yeah. that makes this almost more trustworthy, because it's more human, that like
Absolutely.
Peter, this is the story of a real person who's not a superhuman. Mm-hmm. He's someone who God used, mm-hmm. not because of who he was, but because of who God is.
Yeah.
And so it's just so sweet. And it helps me realize, you know, mm-hmm. that's God's heart for me too. And mm-hmm. it's God's heart for you and for everyone's listening.
Absolutely.
That his heart is to restore us out of our humility. Mm-hmm. Like, he restores us when we go, God, I got nothing to offer you. And mm-hmm. maybe I got phileo to yeah. give you, you know, brotherly love. And he's like, I'll take it.
Yeah, let's take a step.
Yep, it's so good.
It's so cool. Can I have one more little fun fact about it?
Oh, I want it, please.
It's just a little one, but I think it's really fun. But just earlier in the story in John, when Peter denies Jesus, it mentions like a charcoal fire. Mm-hmm. And then here, Jesus is cooking them breakfast on a charcoal fire and smells the strongest trigger of memory.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
I even think that it's just so sweet that like, he smells this fire and it's probably triggering like the moments that he's denying Jesus. And so then for here to even that be restored, I think it's just a really cool little fun fact whenever
that
I was reading
really
about this.
That is really interesting. Yeah. That he would say, come and have breakfast. And it's mm-hmm. almost like Jesus is saying, come and have breakfast. And then he knows Peter's going to sit down to the fire and mm-hmm. smell it and be yeah. like, oh, I failed you.
Yeah.
I betrayed you. I'm remembering now.
Yeah.
And Jesus' response to his shame mm-hmm. is, do you love me? Feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still calling you to the original calling that I had for you.
Yeah. Like, that calling betrayal on his life didn't change, even though Peter strayed and went in his own direction in his own way. And yep. so I think that's really sweet yeah. and so beautiful.
So powerful. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we got. Hope you guys enjoy your breakfast.
Yes.
Your Brenner. We hope that you have an experience with Jesus that is similar mm-hmm. to what this story does, where mm-hmm. you look back on your semester. And for your failures, your betrayals, your missteps, whatever they were, we've all got them. Don't feel like, you know, you're so special if you messed up. We all do. Know that Jesus is calling you back towards him, and for your victories, know that he's right beside you, cheering you on and all that stuff. So, Steph, thanks so much for writing a great week. And man, the semester is done.
There it is.
Sweet. Hey, if you're not from around CSF and you want to check out some of our written curriculum for these podcasts, you can find them at ukcsf.org. Thanks so much, y'all.
See ya.